Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
Srila Bhakti Vedanta ki.
Yes.
Karanta Raj Shrima Bhagavatam ki.
Yes.
Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Yes.
Hidai Gopriman. Sorry, I'm late. There's a traffic jam. It took me 1 hour just from the farm to Geelong. There's so much traffic. And then from Geelong to Avalon took another nearly an hour. And then it started flying. Big traffic jam.
Long weekend. Long weekend.
Yeah. Everyone was coming back. I knew there'd be traffic, but I didn't think it would be. Really bad. I tell you. Too bad. Okay, so we'll just go straight into the class. Tonight we'll discuss verses 22 to 33, so we'll finish chapter 3. We've been discussing chapter 3, which is Gajendra's prayers. So Gajendra is offering further prayers to the Lord, and then the Lord will manifest before him to deliver him. Tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 4, and we'll hear about the reciprocation between the Lord and Gajendra. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead creates his minor parts and parcels. The Jiva Tattva, beginning with Lord Brahma. The demigods and the expansions of Vedic knowledge, Sama, Rig, Yajura, and Artava, and including all other living entities, moving and non-moving, with their different names and characteristics. As the sparks of a fire or the shining rays of the sun emanate from their source and merge into it again and again, the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the gross and subtle material bodies, and the continuous transformations of the different modes of nature all emanate from the Lord and again merge into him. He is neither demigod nor demon, neither human nor bird, or beast. He is not woman, man, or neuter, nor is he an animal. He is not a material quality, a fruitive activity, a manifestation, or non-manifestation. He is the last word in the discrimination of not this, not this. And he is unlimited. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nanda Balabhapur.
This is a summary description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited potency. That Supreme One is acting in different phases by manifesting his parts and parcels, which are all simultaneously differently situated by his different potencies. Parashaya Shakti, Vividhaiva, Sruyate. Each and every potency is acting quite naturally. Swabhaviki Nana Bala Kriyacha. Therefore the Lord is unlimited. Natat samastra Dhyadika Chat Drishyate. Nothing is equal to him, nor is anything greater than him. Although he manifests himself in so many ways, personally, he has nothing to do. Natasya Karyam Karanamcha Vidyate. For everything is done by expansion of his unlimited energies.
So, what are the points?
The Lord manifests himself in different forms and all his energies do the work. And he just can do it. And we are supposed to have faith in it.
Yeah, that's good. Anything else?
I think there is also a primary difference between the Advaita and Advaita philosophy. The Advaitans do not accept the fact that God has energies, whereas the Advaitans or the Vaishnavas say that the Lord has the energies, all has different energies in one single same.
Anything else? other points? So Krishna does everything through his Shakti. He himself does not have to do anything directly. And this is the potency which Krishna himself has. No other person has this potency. I mean, only personalities who are directly empowered by Krishna, like Lord Shiva, or maybe Lord Brahma or some very powerful person. But generally, we are not autonomous. In other words, we can create something like a machine, and we can turn the machine on and the machine can do something for a period of time. But it won't continue indefinitely. Whereas Krishna can create something through his energy, and that creation can be autonomous. In other words, it can just continue to do whatever it was created to do without any further input from Krishna himself. So only Krishna can do this. This shows unlimited power. So it is through his Shakti that he does everything, he maintains everything. Because he is the ultimate enjoyer, he does not personally get involved in creation, maintenance or destruction. In his original form as Swayam Bhagavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, he has no consciousness directly of what is taking place in his creation. Right now Krishna is in Goloka, and in Goloka he is enjoying unlimitedly with his devotees in his pastimes, but he has no consciousness directly of what is taking place in the rest of his creation. He simply does that through his energies or through his expansions. But Krishna himself does not personally get involved. So this is unlimitedly potent. In this world we see, similar things through powerful personalities, like Prabhupada gives the example, the president or the governor. He can set up a department and the department can run and report back to him. But still, it doesn't have unlimited power. It doesn't have indefinite power. Whereas Krishna can have something which is completely separate from him, autonomous, and it can just continue to do whatever it was created to do. So only Krishna can do this. He is unlimitedly powerful. So he is so powerful, he doesn't have to do anything directly. He doesn't directly get involved in creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world. Krishna himself is not engaged in those activities. Krishna simply, he creates, he maintains, and he destroys through his expansions and the expansions of his expansions. So this shows Krishna's supreme ability and potency. Any points?
I was reading a book and it said, all the scientists were talking. And they said that one of them said, but there is God definitely because we create machines here, but it gets out of order or somebody has to run it. But see, the Lord has made man and women, and they keep on producing children. So there is God.
That's his creation. So it just gives him money. Any other points? Okay. I do not wish to live any more after I am released from the attack of the crocodile. What is the use of an elephant's body covered externally and internally by ignorance? I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. That covering is not destroyed by the influence of time. Shekha?
Material world, every living entity is covered by the darkness of ignorance. They through the Vedas enjoin that one should approach the Supreme Lord through the spiritual master, who is described and offered prayers in Gautamiya Tantra as follows. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Yanajana Salakaya Chakshasam Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guramena Maha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Although one has struggled for existence in this material world, to live forever is impossible. One must understand, however, that that struggle for existence is due to ignorance, for otherwise every living being is an eternal part of the Supreme Lord. There is no need to live as an elephant or man, American or Indian. One should desire only to achieve liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Because of ignorance, we consider every life offered by nature to be happy and pleasing. But in the degraded life within this material world, from the life of Lord Brahma down to that of man, no one can actually be happy. We are making so many plans to live happily, but there cannot be any happiness in this material world. However, we may try to make a permanent settlement in this life or that.
So what are the points?
The material world exists because of ignorance. If the ignorance is removed, then it will be already living in the spiritual world. And the second thing is, the ignorance can be removed by the spiritual master. And here is the representative of Krishna. So actually, ultimately, he is the one who removes by sending us to the spiritual master.
Anything else?
The actual goal of human life is not known to the majority of the population. Because the goal is not known, we are taking the shelter of temporary pleasures in this world. But if the goal is known, then the solution can be attempted. So that's where we need to take the help of scriptures, where the goals are clearly defined and also the solution is given. Take the shelter and get out of this
meeting. Any other points?
In this first particular global pointing, if shelter is the spiritual master, because spiritual master is the one who shows you the truth of knowledge, how you have to dedicate your life, surrender to Krishna, and achieve liberation, get out of the cycle of birth and death, whatever.
So, the living entity is born into avidya within the material world. So we always chant this verse, because Srila Prabhupada chanted this verse before he would give class. Ajnana, agyan means ignorance. Timarandasya, darkness. Jnananjana, shalakaya. So the spiritual master is necessary in the human form of life. One of the defects of the modern civilization is that people no longer have gurus. They look for guidance from material authorities. But spiritual authorities are not prevalent, not respected, and are not sought after by the material population. In the Vedic culture, the system was that everyone had a spiritual master, a guru. And by having a guru, you can understand about Krishna. Whereas in the material world, people do not understand the necessity of having a spiritual master. And they take as their authority material personalities, material authorities. Everyone needs authority. And we accept authority in the material world, but that the authority in the material world cannot liberate us from the cycle of birth and death. Whereas the guru can liberate us from birth and death. So that is why we take a guru. That is why we accept a guru. And spiritual life begins, as Rupa Goswami says, the first principle of bhakti is ado guru pad ashraya. Adol means the beginning, Adi. Spiritual life begins with accepting a spiritual master. That is how you begin to progress seriously in spiritual life. Otherwise, in spiritual life, you will progress very slowly unless you accept a spiritual master. So it must be there, it must be accepted. So within ISKCON, first of all, we accept Srila Prabhupada as our Param Guru, which means our grand spiritual master or great spiritual master. That is when you begin to progress seriously in spiritual life, when you accept Prabhupada as your Shiksha Guru, your Param Guru. Then, from that point on, we accept a representative of Prabhupada, right, as our link to Parampara. So it is necessary, because Lord Chaitanya has told us, Gopi Bhattu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Anadasa. Lord Krishna has said to Arjuna, one who says he is my devotee is not my devotee. But one who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is the devotee. So that is the system, and that is how we advance the spiritual life, when we understand we are a servant of the servant. We are the assistant of Krishna's servants. You cannot directly serve Krishna in the spiritual world unless you are permitted by your authorities. That is the system. And there are famous examples in the Shastra that devotees, they tried to directly approach Krishna, but they were rejected. Or they directly tried to approach Lord Chaitanya, but they were rejected. When Raghunath Das Goswami arrived in Jagannath Puri for the first time, he was given into the custody by Lord Chaitanya of Srup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's secretary, his personal assistant. So Lord Chaitanya said, you will serve him. You will be his assistant. And that is how you will serve me. So that is the system which we are given in our system. In Vaishnavism, Gaudiya Vaishnavism. We are meant to be the servant of the servant of the servant. That is the system. And the more we can become absorbed in the bhav, or the emotion, or the feeling, or the sentiment of serving Krishna's devotees, that's how much we'll advance in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee, he is not the devotee. One who said he is the devotee of the devotee, he is actually the devotee. So that is the system. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying here that we must receive knowledge from a guru, we must accept the spiritual master to advance in spiritual life, to advance in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it is not possible. Now, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, the point of human life is to end the struggle of material existence. Does anyone feel that material existence is a struggle? Some of you feel it that way?
A lot of a struggle.
Yeah. Material existence is a lot of a struggle. I'm totally exhausted. Over 2 hours in the car, just trying to get to the temple so I can give a class. You know, this is, everything's a struggle in the material world. Yeah, the spirit. Not too much. Yeah. On top of that. So it is. It is in the spiritual world. There are no traffic jams. You understand this point. There's no traffic lights and there's no traffic jams in the spiritual world. Krishna organizes it, and the spiritual world is more heavily populated than the material world. There are more people there, but there is no struggle for existence. Everything is provided. Everything is free, and you can have as much as you want of everything. Everything is provided beyond our ability to even enjoy. But you must, to accept that position, you must accept that you are the servant of Krishna. So that is the point of human life, is to end this struggle of material existence. Because it's just a struggle. That's all it is. Nothing is easy. I enjoyed myself so much. It was such a nice drive. So pleasant being stuck in a traffic jam for 2 hours. No, it was pleasant, I tell you. I really enjoyed myself. It is the nature of the material. It is a struggle. If you're very advanced, you don't feel that it's a struggle. But it is a struggle. It's very difficult. So the entire point of human life is to break the cycle of birth and death, the struggle for existence. To go back to Krishna and to serve him as an assistant of his assistants, and then we will no longer struggle. Everything in the spiritual world, there is struggle in the spiritual world, but it is not unpleasant. Whereas in the material world, you have to struggle just to live. At least all those things are taken care of in the spiritual world. The struggle in the spiritual world is to meet Krishna or to unite Radha with Krishna. That is the struggle. Okay. But the devotees, that is their bliss. Okay. But everything is comfortable there. In the material world, everything is difficult. So Prabhupada says, the way that we travel, we have to change our desire. Because at the moment we're desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna. And that desire to enjoy separately from Krishna keeps us trapped in this material world. But when you stop desiring to enjoy separately from Krishna, then you transcend the material world. So Prabhupada has told us we must change our desire. Learn to desire to serve Krishna. Don't serve Maya. Don't try to enjoy it separately from Krishna. Any points?
Yeah, it's the other thing when you travel.
What's that?
It's the other people who create problems.
The other people who create problems.
Yeah.
You're talking
about the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, but they just put hindrance in my way.
You're talking about your husband, though.
There's so many people there, probably.
But are you talking about him?
No.
Okay. Any other points?
This is a question, yeah. Where Gajendra is basically saying, I simply desire eternal liberation from the covering of ignorance. Yeah, he's asking for mukti rather than basically trying to serve the Lord.
Well, one thing is that, as we said last time we had class, Krishna describes four kind of pious people who approach him. Someone's in distress, seeking wealth, inquisitive, or knowledge. So here's the example of someone who's in distress. And he, if you read the purports in this section, Prabhupada is explaining that he's not even sure who God is at this point. But his feeling is that there is something higher. There is someone higher. And you'll see many people in the world, when they're in distress, they pray to God or to something higher. But they're not even sure who that is. So at this point in time, he's just saying, just allow me to come out of this. I'm suffering, and now I want to surrender to you, whoever you are. And then the Lord gives him mercy.
So he hasn't met the Lord as yet at this point in time.
Prabhupada says in this section, just as we go through to the end of the chapter in the purports, he says he's not even aware who God actually is. Many people are like that. They don't actually understand who God is. But they believe there's something. You know, quite often if I give a Sunday feast lecture or something like that, I say, do you believe in God or like that? But most people say, I believe in something. But they don't have any clarity. So he's not clear about what it is. But he's just surrendering And as it points out in the Bhagavad Gita, asava kama. Asava. Akama sava. Kamava. Regardless of what you're desiring, surrender to Krishna and you will get reciprocation. Anything else?
Yes, the last year we were learning that the Buddha was not saying that, but for Prabhupada, that they are all like coming under different conditions to the Lord. It's not like pure devotion. So he's not at that same way he's asking for devotion. He wants to get liberated from the ignorance of the body of animals. So, not a pure devotee, but like you said, they're trying to understand.
Yeah, that's the power of bhakti, because even you approach Krishna and your desire is not completely pure, but you get reciprocation from Krishna. So because he's approaching Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates.
But in Gurunatha, this case where he sort of met him and got Narayeshwar, put it on his forehead, he literally said, what am I asking? This is not something I wanted to sort of really ask for. And he changed, and then he sort of recited all these prayers, which is why I was just asking, why is he asking for liberation?
Yeah, it's easy to philosophize. You know, you can say, oh, why is he doing like that? Why isn't he asking for pure devotion?
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, when was the last time you had an alligator hanging off your leg? Yeah, you're probably not going to be very coherent at that point in time. Yeah, and he starts saying, oh, you know, I should be asking for pure devotion at this point in time. Yeah, your leg is racked in pain. You're drowning because you're being sucked into the water. The animal's getting, you know, and you're just completely absorbed in the animal. So somehow after struggling for so long, he lets go and then he thinks, you know, please save me.
I think he was really elevated because he Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they heard it, but they did not come for help. They thought he's asking for Vishnu. So I think he was pretty elevated. I mean, whatever word he has used, I mean, because he is in the elephant's body, so that the animal body is in ignorance. I think that's why he's using this word. But as in the previous life, he was in King in the Brahma. So he was pretty elevated at that time. But because of the curse that he became in the so I think he was praying for an audition. So that's pretty high, I think.
Yeah, he's not an ordinary devotee. It's special.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, fully desiring release from material life, I offer my respectful obeisances unto that Supreme Person who is the Creator of the universe, who is Himself the form of the universe, and who is nonetheless transcendental to this cosmic manifestation. He is the Supreme Knower of everything in this world, the Supersoul of the universe. He is the unborn, supremely situated Lord. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Silvana.
Sometimes when Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness is preached to the common men, people argue, where is Krishna? Where is God? Can you show him to us? In this verse, the answer is given to us, given that if we are significantly intelligent, we must know that there is someone who has created this entire cosmic manifestation, who has supplied and has become the ingredients of this cosmic manifestation, who is externally existing, but who is not within the cosmic manifestation. Simply on the basis of this suggestion, one can offer respectful obeisances onto the Supreme Lord. This is the beginning of devotional life.
Mm-hmm. So, any points?
So he is directly, praying to Lord Vishnu. He must be very aware. And the other thing is, what he is saying is he is the form of the universe and as well as he is transcendental. So I think it is,
Any other points?
I think at the time of distress, which is when people start looking at what reality is, I mean, if they look up the sky and say, up in the sun, what they do with access, or is a moon just floating? When they're in distress, they start to use a higher controller, a higher person up there who's actually looking up, who can look up to my needs too as well. I think that's probably the gist of this.
So Rupa Goswami says that spiritual life begins with Shraddha. Shraddha means faith. One must have faith, otherwise one cannot approach Krishna. So Gajendra, because he is a pious soul, when he is in distress, he turns towards Krishna. So that is Shraddha. That is where our spiritual life begins. If you don't have Shraddha, you will not choose to go towards Krishna. If you have Shraddha in the material world, you will absorb yourself in the material energy. So everyone has faith, but you either have faith in the material energy or the spiritual energy. Mahatmanas tumam paratam daivim prakriti ashritam. A devotee has faith in the spiritual energy, and therefore he surrenders to Krishna. And that surrender leads us to become purified. Now, one time, Prabhupada was on a morning walk, I think it was in Mayapur, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asking him, why did we surrender Prabhupada? And Prabhupada says, because you are intelligent. A spiritual life requires purified intelligence. And how does the intelligence become purified? Our intelligence becomes purified by taking prasada. When we take prasada, right, the subtle body, the brain, Prabhupada, it becomes purified. By living in the mode of goodness, giving up passionate activities, passionate foods, ignorant activities, ignorant foods, by living in the mode of goodness, we then begin to progress. And the subtle body becomes purified. Our intelligence becomes purified. So, and simultaneously, one must hear Shastra. That's how the intelligence becomes purified. Otherwise, the intelligence is impure. So by hearing Shastra with purified intelligence, by all of the devotional activities we do, such as hearing, chanting, it purifies the intelligence. And then we can accept that Krishna is supreme. And we will surrender to Krishna. So that is the system. One needs to purify one's buddhi, or intelligence. If intelligence is not purified, one cannot surrender to Krishna. Any points?
Yes, the chanting is Krishna.
Okay. Number 27. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme, the Super Soul, the Master of all mystic yoga, who is seen in the core of the heart by perfect mystics when they are completely purified and freed from the reactions of fruitive activity by practicing bhakti yoga.
The king of Arjuna's Gajendra simply accepted that there must be someone who has created this cosmic manifestation and supplied its ingredients. This should be admitted by everyone, even the most determined atheists. Why then do the non-devotees and atheists not admit this? The reason is that they are polluted with by the reactions of their fruitive activities. One must be freed from all the dirt accumulated within the heart due to fruitive activities performed one after another. One must wash off the dirt by practicing bhakti yoga. Yoga ranadita karmana. As long as one is covered by material nature's mold of ignorance and passion, there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Lord. When one is freed from the mode of ignorance and passion, one becomes free from the lowest qualities, kama and lobha, lust and greed. Nowadays, there are so many yoga schools to encourage people in developing their lusty desires and greed through the practice of yoga. People are therefore very much fond of so-called yoga practice. The actual practice of yoga, however, is described here. As authoritatively stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1, Dhyanavashtita tadgatena manasya pasyanti yam yoga. The yogi is one who is always who meditates on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.38, Premanjani Churita Bhakti Vilochanina Santasadeva Vidensha Vilopayanti Yam Shyam Sundara Chitta Guna Swarupam Govinda Madhupushantam Ahamvajami. Now worship Govinda, the primary Lord, who is Shyam Sundara Krishna himself with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with spell of love. The bhakti yogi constantly sees Shyam Sundara, beautiful Lord Krishna, with his blackish bottomless hue. Because the king of elephants, Gajendra, thought himself an ordinary animal, he thought himself unfit to see the Lord. In his humility, he thought that he could not practice yoga. In other words, how can those who like animals in their bodily concept of life and who have no purity of consciousness practice yoga? In this present day, people who have no control over their senses, who have no understanding of philosophy and who do not follow religious principles and rules and regulations, and nonetheless pretending to be yogis, is the greatest anomaly in the practice of Gnostic yoga.
So what are the points?
The basic is just the bhakti yoga. That's the goal to reach Krishna. Otherwise, you come, it will be difficult. No other kind of yoga can be used to Krishna.
Anything else?
Sri Prabhupada actually mentions Gajendra is thinking in humility that he is such an animal type of person, and is comparing to today's people who are actually having animalistic views, who have no sense control, basically sort of no, having no chance of actually doing any bhakti yoga.
So Prabhupada emphasizes that we must follow the regulative principles if you want to advance in spiritual life. Prabhupada points out that in the modern yoga schools, the regulative principles are not necessarily emphasized. And even, Prabhupada points out, people do yoga so that they can break the regulative principles, so that they can increase their ability in illicit sex life, which is not the purpose of yoga. Because according to the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, one of the necessities of the Yama Niyama system of rules and regulations which must be accepted in the Yoga Sutras, now one must practice Brahmacharya. Now, you cannot advance in spiritual life unless you practice Brahmacharya. So here, Prabhupada is emphasizing that if you're doing yoga or you're doing bhakti yoga, but your motivation is not correct, you cannot advance. You cannot advance properly. In other words, Prabhupada says, sense gratification and spiritual life, they go ill together. Sex life, illicit sex, and Krishna consciousness, they go ill together. You cannot advance properly in devotional service. As long as you are too much engrossed in passion and ignorance, you cannot advance properly in Krishna consciousness. You have to become purified of passion, purified of ignorance, situated in the mode of goodness, and practice devotional service from the mode of goodness. Then you can progress in spiritual life. Then you can become advanced in Krishna consciousness. So it is necessary that one follow the four regulative principles. That's why at initiation we take four vows. four things we say we will not do, we will abstain from. Four things which are nisheta, or not to be done. And then one thing which is viti, which we accept. Positive. So four negative injunctions, one positive injunction. You can't advance properly in spiritual life unless you follow all of these injunctions. That's why at the time of initiation we take these vows. Because by taking the vows, then you progress in spiritual life. So, any points?
Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 13.8, Amanikam, that the process of knowledge starts with humility.
Anything else?
If you have got humility, then it means they are positive, it is possible. And this is the last person of the spiritual world. So unless you get very humility, you cannot reach the spiritual world.
Advance properly.
Yeah.
Okay. My Lord, you are the controller of formidable strength in three kinds of energies. You appear as the reservoir of all sense pleasure and the protector of the surrendered souls. You possess unlimited energy, but you are unapproachable by those who are unable to control their senses. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. So, Prabhupada emphasizes that when we surrender to Krishna, our heart becomes cleansed by Krishna himself. That is the system. So, if you read the purport for Srimvatam Swakata Krishna or Nashta Prayas for Bhadrashu, it's one of those verses. Krishna, Prabhupada says, it is Krishna who cleanses our heart. When he sees that we are trying to give up our material bad habits and we're trying to surrender to him, then he assists us by purifying our consciousness. When he sees that we have a sincere desire to surrender to him and to give up our attachment to the material world, when he sees that you are sincere, then Krishna will assist you. So he says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yukta Nam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogamta Yenamam Upayantite. So Krishna says that if you are endeavoring to surrender to him, then he will purify the consciousness. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. He will give you buddhi yoga. He will give you intelligence. He will purify your consciousness, your heart and your intelligence so you can surrender to him. So that is the system. So we endeavor, we try, and then Krishna assists us and he purifies the consciousness. And in that way we can think of him more and more, become more attached to him. But we cannot do it entirely by ourselves. It requires Krishna's mercy, but we have to attract Krishna's mercy by sincere endeavor. Any points? I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whose illusory energy the jiva, who is part and parcel of God, forgets his real identity because of the bodily concept of life. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are difficult to understand. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that Maya is difficult to surmount. It is difficult to overcome material desires. Has anyone had this experience? Not easy to overcome your material desires. But when Krishna sees that we are sincerely trying and desiring, then he will assist us. He will make arrangements. And Prabhupada says that he will ask the material energy to release us. So if we are trying to get out of the material energy, very putting great endeavor into our devotional service, then Krishna will reciprocate. So that is the program. Krishna reciprocates with our desire. Then, Prabhupada says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochiti Na Kankshiti. You can realize that you are spiritual by nature. And Brahma Bhuta, we are spirit. This realization comes when we advance in devotional service. That we are spiritual by nature, we are not material. So the more we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, the more we realize that we are spiritual by nature. When you realize you're spiritual by nature, your material desires become insignificant. You give up your material attachments, your material desires. Any points?
If we have got too many material desires, the burden of material desires is anger. Anger comes in all the time. And then everything is disturbed. So the minimum material desire must have. We want to have spiritual attainment.
So good. Anything else?
You need to first become a yogi. Krishna says 6.47. Don't become a yogi. And the other definition Krishna gives was yogastha purukarma, that you need to tolerate, be neutral whether in happiness or distress. And that helps you to realize that you are the spirit soul. Similarly, Krishna says, after saying that you are the spirit soul, then he tells him how to understand, how to realize that part is to tolerate any condition. It's like weather conditions, it moves, it comes and goes. So learn to tolerate. And that makes it realizing.
You mean bhakti?
It's all leading to that because
Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the king of the elephants was describing the supreme authority, without mentioning any particular person, he did not invoke the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra and Chandra. Thus none of them approached him. However, because Lord Hari is the super soul, Purushottama, the personality of Godhead, he appeared before Gajendra. So the Bhagavatam philosophy is a karma sava karma va moksha karma udariti. Regardless of what you desire, you should approach Krishna. So that was Gajendra's good quality. That even though there was some personal interest, he approached Krishna. And therefore he is considered to be a bhakta. He is accepted by Krishna. What would you do if a crocodile was biting you on the leg?
I think the Lord says in Gita also that they are magnanimous souls, Sundaras, all these souls, even though they are coming with material motives, still they are all like magnanimous souls, he says. But as he says that he who is searching for all the best, he is the best like that.
What would you do if an elephant was biting your leg? Eventually, you have to pray to Krishna, that's the point. So we have to surrender to Krishna, regardless of what the situation is that we find ourselves in the material world, we have to surrender to Krishna. Shitoshna, sukha dukkha da. Krishna says, whether you're happy or you're distressed, surrender to me. So that is the point. So why do we get so much distress? Because distress makes us surrender to Krishna. If we're devotees, if we're pious. Gajendra was in distress, but he surrendered to Krishna.
Is it wrong to ask for his help all the time?
No, it's not wrong. If you're asking Krishna to help you so you can serve him, that's not wrong. After understanding the awkward condition of Gajendra, who had offered his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who lives everywhere, appeared with the demigods, who were offering prayers to him. Carrying his disc and other weapons, he appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda, with great speed, according to his desire. Thus he appeared before Gajendra. So, what does Krishna do when his devotees are in distress?
Comes to like him.
Yeah, he protects his devotees. And what do we do when Krishna's devotees are in distress?
You must help them.
You must help them. So whatever Krishna does, we should also do. If Krishna sees the devotees in distress, he immediately comes to help them. And if we see the devotees in distress, we have to do the same thing. Naturally, spontaneously. Not premeditated, oh, I should do it because that's what I should do. But you should just naturally want to help the devotees. Then Krishna is satisfied.
It should be whether it's devotees or non-devotees, more so maybe devotees, but otherwise it's a natural human compassion. If somebody is in distress, if we can extend our help.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Gajendra had been forcefully captured by the crocodile in the water and was feeling acute pain. But when he saw that Narayan, wielding his disc, was coming in the sky on the back of Garuda, he immediately took a lotus flower in his trunk, and with great difficulty, due to his painful condition, he uttered the following words, O my Lord Narayana, Master of the Universe, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Thereafter, seeing Gajendra in such an aggrieved position, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, immediately got down from the back of Garuda by his causeless mercy and pulled the king of the elephants along with the crocodile out of the water. Then, in the presence of all the demigods who were looking on, the Lord severed the crocodile's mouth from its body with his disc. In this way he saved Gajendra, the king of the elephants. So Prabhupada points out in the purport that a devotee, when he is in difficulty, he sees this as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. This theme is repeated again and again in the Bhagavatam. For the first canto, we hear Queen Kunti pray, let the calamities come again and again. And actually, when the calamities come, we surrender more to Krishna. When we're going through difficulty, we surrender more to Krishna. When life is easy, we take it easy. But when life is difficult, we get serious. So therefore, a pure devotee, an advanced devotee, he thinks, let the calamities come, because then I'll surrender more.
Even that is great, but that is very great. When we are in trouble, sometimes even to think of the Lord and the creation is very great.
Yeah. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki.